This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful and glorious day to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you to this time together, whether you are here in the sanctuary or joining us online. We know that the Spirit of Christ connects us in this time of worship together. I want to say a special word of welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. And if you're worshiping with us for the first time, we hope that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place and that you feel welcomed. If you are, no matter who you are or how many times you've been here, I would ask you to take a moment to sign in and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link available for you to click on to register. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the middle part of the row, and as they go down and back again, I invite you to take a moment to look at the names of those sitting on the row with you and take an opportunity to greet one another at the end of the service. If you are visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, please share an email address or a mailing address with us, and we'll reach out and begin the conversation, and we'll share with you some of the ways we're trying to live out Christ's love in our community. There's several announcements in the bulletin that I won't repeat, but I just want to draw your attention to. Information about getting baseball tickets for the Sounds game on Tuesday night. We're going together as a church, and there's still time to get tickets. The plastic-free July shopping time this afternoon that our Creation Care team wants you to know about. And then another announcement about next Sunday during the Sunday school hour. We're going to have sort of a summer town hall gathering in the fourth story theater at 9:45 to share some updates on ministries from the summer, particularly annual conference and what happened at annual conference, as well as an update on our Project Thrive team and the work that they've been doing. So I hope you'll come and be part of that as we look ahead to the next season of our life together. Also, children's choirs will be starting up on August 24th, and you can go ahead and start registering your kids for that. The rehearsals will be on Wednesday nights for ages 3 through 6th grade. The youth choir will be rehearsing on Sunday afternoons before small groups this year. So you can go to the website /children's choir and find ways to register there. This morning, we find ourselves gathered around Jesus with his disciples as they ask him the question, or ask him, teach us to pray. I think all of us want to know more about how to pray. So let us open ourselves, our hearts and our lives, to hear what Jesus has to teach us about prayer.
Thank you. As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, may we learn to pray. As we gather for worship, let us seek the one who hears our prayers. When we are tired, when we are weak, when we don't know how or what to pray, the Holy Spirit goes before us and with us, forming prayers out of our wordless sighs. And God welcomes us with open arms, ready to receive us. So let us confess our sins together, that together we might experience that God's Spirit is at work in our midst. Gracious God, we confess that we do not always know how to pray. We are hesitant to trust in you. We are impatient as we wait on you. We seek transaction rather than relationship with you. Forgive us, Holy One. Remind us that when we knock, you open wide the door to your heart. Help us to respond by opening our hearts to you, that we might receive the Holy Spirit through the grace of Jesus Christ. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're joining us online this morning, you may do that by sending greetings in the chat or by sharing those greetings with people worshiping with you. For those of you in the sanctuary, share these greetings in whatever way is most comfortable for you this morning. The peace of Christ be with you. Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Carla and David Fox bring their daughter to God before this community of faith for baptism. My family in Christ, it is through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Carla and David, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this beautiful child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised in Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay, you want to come see me? Yeah, hi. I know. I know, but we've met before. You remember me, right? Yeah. What name have you given your daughter?
Eleanor May.
I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who comforts you and advocates for you all the days of your life. Okay, Ellie May. We're going to invite Mom and Dad to place a hand on you, and Pastor Brandon, too. And all of us are going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Eleanor May, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, let's see if we want to take a walk. It's been a long time since I've gotten to walk with a baby down the center aisle. We want you to get a good look at your church family. They're this way, so I'm going to walk backwards. So I can see you. Yeah, look at all those smiles and happy faces filled with love. this is your church family. Yeah. And they're going to teach you about how much God loves you. And you're going to watch them and see how they follow Jesus and how they love other people. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school. Some may be vacation Bible school volunteers. One of them might be a confirmation mentor in about 12 years. So all of us are going to make a promise that we want you to hear right now to do our best to raise you in the faith.
Will the congregation please rise in body or spirit and face Eleanor May? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Eleanor May to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Eleanor May, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke, the 11th chapter, in verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks you for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite all the grown-ups to be seated if you're here in the sanctuary. And if you are a child and would like, or a child at heart and would like to come forward, love to have a minute with you. And if you're worshiping at home, just get a little closer to your screens. We'll have a special moment together. Good morning. Come on down. There's plenty of room up here. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. In the Bible verses that Mr. James just read, Jesus was talking about prayer. Jesus' disciples said, "Please teach us how to pray." And I'm like those disciples. I want to know how to pray more and pray more deeply. And so Jesus taught them a little bit. One of the things that I believe about prayer is that when we're talking to God, there's no wrong way to pray. There are so many different ways we can pray. Sometimes fold our hands, bow our heads, and close our eyes. Sometimes I like to take walks and talk to God while I walk, just like I'm walking with a friend. Sometimes I like to sit quietly with my hands open for about 20 minutes and just try to listen and enjoy the silence and just be present to God. Sometimes I stand up and raise my hands and praise God and give thanks to God. There are all sorts of ways to pray and all sorts of names for God. In this prayer that Jesus gives his disciples, he calls God Father. And there are names in the Bible for God like Adonai and Good Shepherd and God is my rock. So you might want to think about what is something that helps you pray to God, an image or a name for God. The one that's most important to me is that God is love. Because no matter what, when we pray, we're always praying to a God who's holding us in love. Let's pray together. Let's fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes this time. God, you love us so much. Thank you for the gift of prayer that gives us a chance to say back to you, we love you. It gives us a chance to talk to you and tell you what we're feeling and thinking and worried about, what we're happy about. You hear all of these things, and you just love when we come to you to talk, to pray, to rest in silence. So help us to pray. And to know that you're always ready to be with us in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. Now, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie, who's waving over there by the doors. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. It's a great group today. Thanks for listening. One of my mentors in ministry, my heroes in the faith, is Bishop Robert Spain. He was my pastor from around 7th or 8th grade through the first years of college when I was a member at Brentwood United Methodist Church. His preaching has shaped my preaching. His way of being in ministry set an example for me of the kind of pastor I want to be, the kind of person I want to be. He is now 96 years old. When he retired from being a bishop, he came back to Brentwood, and I was able to sit at his feet often. He officiated at our wedding, and I invited him from time to time to come and share with different groups, depending on the church where I was working. And I remember several years ago, we had a luncheon for older adults at the congregation I previously served, and I invited him to come and talk about prayer, because who doesn't want to learn more about prayer? And I couldn't wait to hear what he was going to say, because he is so deeply grounded in a relationship with God. He is one of those humble, grace-filled people that, to me, embodies what a disciple of Christ must look like. And so I was waiting with bated breath to hear what he had to say, what he had to teach us about prayer. And he stood up and he said, "Well, I'll be honest. I'm not very happy with my prayer life." And my jaw dropped. My first reaction was, "I can't believe that." And my second reaction was, "Oh, I'm so relieved. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And you're not alone." My guess is that most of us, if not all of us, feel like we know about this much about prayer. I pray. And as I told the children, I practice all different kinds of prayer. Centering prayer, sitting in silence. Lectio Divina, reading the scriptures with an open heart. Talking to God as I walk. And I've had some profound experiences of God's love just washing over me sometimes when I've been praying. But I still feel like I've just barely dipped my toe in. And if someone asked me to teach about prayer, I would feel deeply inadequate. But I think that's a very real and a very human experience. The Apostle Paul said it for all of us. We do not know how to pray as we ought. And so we're in good company. As Jesus' disciples gather around him and say to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They had watched Jesus and how he would pull away from the crowds and be gone for hours or even days. Some of them had perhaps been in the vicinity when he was deep in prayer with God. And they wanted some of that. They wanted what he had. They wanted that deep relationship of prayer. And so they finally asked for it. And what we heard James read was Jesus' response, which is sort of a three-wave response. And I want to, as usual, there's so much in these scriptures, I can't even begin to dig into them. I want to invite you to pore over them on your own and hear what God has to teach you through these verses. But I want to do a brief run-through of these three waves, focusing on a couple of things. What is Jesus trying to tell his disciples about the nature of God? And what is Jesus teaching them and us about how we are called to be in relationship with this God? So, a three-wave answer. The first wave, Jesus' first response to their question, is really out of character for Jesus, because they ask a question and he gives them a direct answer. How often does Jesus respond to questions with, "There once was a man who," or, "Well, what would you think if?" Leading people through story and questions is a beautiful way of teaching, but in this case, he starts off with, "When you pray, say this." Wow, he gives them words to pray. And you recognize these verses. Luke's version of them is much shorter and more abbreviated than the Lord's Prayer that we usually pray in worship or that we see in other Gospels. But Jesus has something to tell them about the nature of God by the way he begins his prayer. Father. What is Jesus trying to teach us about the nature of God? What I don't think Jesus is telling us is that God is masculine or male, or that this is the only name for God, the only way to understand or relate to God. What I think Jesus is doing is offering a gift and a fresh perspective to his disciples and to us on how to relate to God. This word Father is not a third person noun, as if to say, "Well, John is a father. That person is a father." No, it's a term of address. It's a name that you would call your father. It's a relationship word, Abba, daddy. So I think Jesus is trying to tell us that prayer is all about relationship, a relationship that is meant to be one of unconditional love, of provision and care, of the love of a creator who knows us intimately and loves us unconditionally, who will always receive us when we go to God. It's a new way of teaching about prayer. The second thing that Jesus uses to reveal the nature of God to his disciples and to us is this rhetorical technique that I'm sure has a name like in Greek or Latin, but I call it the how much more technique. Jesus uses it a lot. He'll give an example of a person who does something, and he says, you know, if this person does that, how much more will God be that way? So he does that in relation to the Father image at the end of this text. When he talks to the audience and he says, look, many of you are parents. Which one of you who is a parent, if your child came to you and asked for a fish, would give them a snake instead? Or if they asked for an egg, would give them a scorpion? Even you, the word he uses here, even you who are evil, even you who are limited, even you who are not divine and holy, know how to love your children and how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will God bless you? How much more does God want to love you and receive you and embrace you? I'm a parent, and I love my children more than I can express in words. I would do anything for my children. And my love is this big compared to the love that God has for me. I can't even take it in. Here Jesus is trying to tell us that the God we pray to is not a distant, judgmental God who has little time for us or for anybody else, but is a loving God who knows us intimately, who loves us unconditionally, who longs to be in relationship with us. Some of us have some things to unlearn, some images to let go of before we can fully embrace that. I know I do. The second time Jesus uses this how much more device is in the parable in the middle, where the image is of a friend, not a parent. So as the story goes, you find out you have a friend who's come to visit you in the middle of the night, and you don't have enough food to serve them. And so you go next door to your friend's house, someone who's supposed to be your friend, and you knock on the door and ask, can I borrow 3 loaves of bread? Now, Jesus knows that in the culture he's speaking into, hospitality was a core value. If someone knocked on your door, you opened it. You helped them. You welcomed them into your home. You fed them. It was shameful not to. And so here we have in this story a friend who's being a real jerk. And everybody Jesus is talking to knows it. Knock on the door, help, I need 3 loaves of bread. I'm in bed already. Don't bother me. But Jesus says, even if this guy won't get out of bed because he's a friend, he'll finally get out of bed if the neighbor refuses to stop knocking. Just knock, 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 knock. It'll finally drive him crazy enough to get out of bed. And if that kind of selfish, lazy neighbor will eventually open the door, how much more will God open the door to God's heart? God is standing at the door ready for us to knock. I think this invites us to let go of that idea we sometimes have, or I know I do, that I've got to wake God up. I've got to pound on the door and cry out enough that God will care about what's going on in my life or in the world. That's not who God is. Jesus is telling us in this parable, God is right there, ready to provide what we need. So if this is who God is, then how are we to relate to God in prayer? How are we to approach God in prayer? There's a powerful clue in this parable. Unfortunately, we didn't hear it in our translation. But Luke describes the neighbor who's pounding on the door. In English, the translation we had, it was persistent. The painter who painted the image on our bulletin cover uses importunate. But scholars tell us the best translation of that word is shameless. Jesus is telling us to approach God without shame. No place for shame in our relationship with God. Just let that sink in for a minute. Because I think there are many of us that carry around a lot of shame. And sometimes it keeps us from being fully who we are, or being fully honest with God or with ourselves, or believing that God would accept us and love us. No shame. I'll never forget a moment when one of my children came to me in tears about something they had done, and they were so ashamed. Now, there's a difference between shame and guilt. We feel guilt about things that we've done or we haven't done. And there's a place for that in our prayers. We pray a prayer of confession every Sunday, naming out before God the things that we have done, the things that we have left undone, and asking for forgiveness, and we always receive it. But shame is about who we are. This notion that I'm a bad person, and I heard my child say to me, I'm a bad person. And I cannot tell you that, how quickly I wanted to just embrace my child and say, no, there's no place for shame. You're not a bad person. Tell me what you did and we'll talk about it, but you are a beautiful child of God and I love you. And if I could have that little experience as a parent, how much more is God ready to embrace us? How much more does God want us to come to God with no shame? Jesus goes on to say, ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. Say in your prayers, give to us our daily bread. Give us what we need. Help us, God. Ask. Somehow the asking of God is important in that relationship. No matter what it is, God, I believe, wants us to lay it all out before God. In the way I read this passage, Jesus is saying we're not necessarily going to get exactly what we ask for. We don't always get what we want in our prayers. God is not a vending machine just giving us what we want as long as we ask enough times. But Jesus says, you will receive, and you will find, and a door will be opened. And we will receive what we need. I'm sure many of you have stories, I know I do, of times in my life when I've prayed for something, asked for something, and I didn't get what I asked for. But what I received was so much more than I could ever have hoped for. Or someone didn't get cured, but we were given the peace and the strength and the grace to walk through a dark time in God's presence. I had that experience this week. This whole teaching about prayer of Jesus really came to life for me this week. I heard the news on Monday night that my friend, my colleague, Autura Eason Williams, had been shot and killed in a carjacking. Many of you, if you're church members, received an email about that. She preached here on Palm Sunday, if you were here. And when I first got the news, I had no words. I heard the words of Apostle Paul, we do not know how to pray, and so the Holy Spirit prays within us with sighs too deep for words, and I felt that. And as the minutes and hours went on, I went through stages of anger, and I wanted whoever did this to be brought to justice. I was angry about the systems we live in where these things happen, and gun laws and all of these things, and I prayed for her family to find comfort, and I just laid it all out before God. And the more I prayed, the more I felt the door open to God's grace and unconditional love and presence and peace. And when I heard the news that the boy who shot her was 15, I felt compassion. And I realized that that young man is a child of God, held in God's love and God's grace, and it would be God's will and the kingdom of God if someone could come alongside him and help him. I think that's what Arturo would want. And so I felt my prayers, which began with ask, seek, knock, give us our daily bread, help us, God, transformed into your kingdom come, your will be done. I think that happens to us in prayer. I think the people of God ultimately are led into this kind of prayer, your kingdom come. And the more we pray it, the more we live it out. May it be so for us and for our world. Amen.
As the children of Abba, I invite you to rise in body or spirit. As we join our voices together in our affirmation of faith found on 883 in the United Methodist hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share prayer concerns with our pastoral team so that we might pray for them throughout the week, you may do that in several ways. If you're worshiping with us online, you can do that by following the link on our website at Contact Us, and you can leave prayer concerns there. Those of you here can do that as well. But also, if you're in the sanctuary, you may find a gray card in the pew rack in front of you, and you can place your prayer concerns on that card and then place them in the offering plates as they go down the aisles in a few moments. This morning we have a beautiful rose on the communion table to celebrate the birth of Leo Enrique Love, who was born in Nashville on July 5th, to Leslie Gutierrez and Nicholas Love. He is also welcomed by his great-grandmother, Barbara Love. Our prayers are also with the family of Luke Pryor of Tanner, Alabama, this morning, who passed away on June 19th. He is survived by his sister, Patty Davis, and his brother-in-law, Lucian Davis. And then, as Carol mentioned a few moments ago, on Monday, July 18th, the Reverend Dr. Arturo Eason Williams was killed in a senseless act of gun violence in Memphis, Tennessee. She was a district superintendent in our conference. Arturo was a kind-hearted servant of God with a heart for building the kingdom by reaching across racial and socioeconomic and cultural divides and creating a place for all of God's children in the body of Christ. And as Carol mentioned, you may remember Arturo from her time with us when she visited and preached on Palm Sunday. And she told us that she wished she could preach here every Sunday, didn't she, Carol? She said it was such a great experience. She was a friend to our clergy and to our congregation and to countless Methodists across the conference and the United Methodist Connection. We pray this day for her husband, Darrell, and their four children, Ayanna, John, Terrence, and Gwendolyn. And the family has a scheduled a viewing on Tuesday, August 2nd from 4 to 8 p.m. at Anthony Funeral Home in West Memphis, Arkansas. And the funeral will be on Wednesday, August 3rd at 10 a.m. at St. Paul United Methodist Church in Lakeland, Tennessee. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of inviting and embracing love, once again you welcome us into prayer. Prayer for our world, for our communities, for our family and friends, and for ourselves. Today, through the words of Jesus, we receive guidance for our praying. So today we ask that you would give us the courage and boldness to pray as Jesus taught us, so that our lives might be living testaments to your grace in the world. Good and giving God, we confess that sometimes prayer confuses us. We are not sure if it's about what we come to say to you or what you want to say to us. We are not sure if we should ask for what we want or simply humble ourselves in reserved presence. We marvel at the times when it seems that our prayers are answered in amazing ways, and we are troubled when it seems our prayers have little effect or purpose. But today we pray that we would be reminded of the truly transformational power of prayer and the fact that it is actually all of these things and more. Today, help us see and understand that prayer, above all else, is boldly stepping into your presence. Remind us that in prayer we are invited to bring the fullness of ourselves to you, our needs and our wants, our desires, our struggles, our disappointments, our failings, our worries, our questions, and our longings. You invite us to seek after you and seek after your goodness for us and the world around us. But most importantly, help us know that we are called to lean on you and your trust in you, for we never fully understand. We only see through a glass dimly, and yet you accompany us and you hold us and you love us in it and through it all. So today, on this day, we confidently lift our prayers to you, and we lift up all who are struggling in body or mind or spirit this day. And we pray for all who mourn or lament this day. And we most especially pray for the many people throughout our United Methodist Conference and our connection who continue to mourn the loss of our friend, Reverend Dr. Artura Eason Williams. And we pray for her family who have suffered and experienced unimaginable tragic loss. And once again, we pray for the scourge of gun violence to be brought to an end. And we pray all these things and more as we join our voices together to pray as Jesus did indeed teach us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we come to the time where we offer our tithes and our gifts to the church and to the world. We recognize that everyone has a different financial situation, and we simply ask that you give as you are able and as you feel led. If you're worshiping with us online, you will see options on the screen or in the chat for how to give. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
the Springville Little Camp Meeting there at the end. That's where I've been this week, is my family camp meeting. But it's a hymn that invites us to stay close to God in prayer. Stay close to the heart of God, that we may live as people of God who pray and who do. Go, pray, and do in peace and joy. Amen.